41, second paragraph. Although Basil's statement, "All is the nature of things," is truly an 80 or 90% statement, there are many points which Basil hasn't expressed. That is to say, he doesn't say the natures of all things do not leave the nature of things. He doesn't say the natures of all things are all the nature of things. He doesn't say all living beings do not leave living beings. He doesn't say all living beings are a little bit of the nature of things. He doesn't say all living beings are a little bit of living beings. He doesn't say the natures of all things are a little bit of living beings. He doesn't say half our living beings is half the nature of things. He doesn't say non-existence of living beings is the nature of things. He doesn't say the nature of things is not living beings. He doesn't say the nature of things exudes the nature of things. He doesn't say living beings shed living beings. We only hear that living beings do not leave absorption in the nature of things. He doesn't say that the nature of things cannot leave absorption in living beings. There is no statement of absorption in the nature of things existing and entering absorption in living beings. Needless to say, we don't hear of the attainment of Buddhahood of the nature of things. We don't hear living beings realize the nature of things. We don't hear the nature of things realizes the nature of things. There is no statement of how inanimate beings don't leave the nature of things. Now, one should ask Basil, what do you call living beings? If you call the nature of things living beings, it is what things? What thing comes thus? If you call living beings, it is if you speak of it as something, you miss it. Speak quickly. Well, first of all, Dogen Zenji mentions, although Basil's statement always that the nature of things is truly an 80 or 90% statement, there are many points which Basil hasn't expressed. this is not criticism toward Basil Zen Master. Because I think if you read Buddhist scripture mentioned by Buddha Shakyamuni for why he was alive for 80 years, it is perfect statement, perfect teaching, but still there are lots of things he didn't teach. So I think you have to accept both. Teaching which has been taught and teaching which haven't been taught. Those two teachings are very important. If you express one thing in a word, that word is perfect. But still behind this word, there are lots of things you cannot express. But still, even though you cannot, but there are lots of expression there, lots of meaning. That's Dogen Den dimensions. So Basum Zen Master says, all living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. They are always within absorption in the nature of things, wearing clothes, eating, conversing, the functions of the six sense organs, and all activities. All are the nature of things. Now, this is a perfect statement. But if you try to stretch this word, all are Dhamma nature. In other words, all are Buddha. If you stretch this one, there are countless expressions. Many. Karagiri is one, but if Karagiri express, I think one day, it's all day, all aspect of the one day is Karagiri. 2 days, 100 days, anyway. All are nothing but just one Karagiri. That's it. So, that's why if you say one, it is not perfect. It is not perfect. Even though you say perfect, it is not perfect. Because behind this, there are lots of things you cannot express it. But what you say is perfect. That's why one sentence, two sentences disclose your whole life. That's why you have to use your words coming from not head, from your heart, okay? From living being, living life. Then that word, one sentence, two sentences are really alive. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions here. Although Basu's statement, all is the nature of things, truly an 80 or 90% statement. There are many points which Basu hasn't expressed. Yes, there are. There are many. That's why next Dogen Zenji says, many expressions. So, but those many expressions are exactly the same as one sentence. All are Dhamma nature. That's it. Okay, so, but most people misunderstand this point. Dogen Zenji criticizes Basu's statement because he says Basu's statement is 80 or 90%. But I don't think this is a state criticism. Okay. So, if you study the Buddhism, you can read the scripture which has been taught by ancestors, Buddhas. But there are lots of things you don't. There are lots of things you see, you have to see the scripture which haven't been taught. That is a what? You have to take care of your life. Through the taking care of your life, then that the unfinished teaching coming up, then you really see that unfinished teaching through the scripture which you have read. So, lots of things here, okay? So that is to say, I don't think it is very important to understand those expressions, okay? So I want to go just simply. That is to say, he doesn't say the nature of things do not leave the nature of things, because all sentient beings exactly living in the nature of things, Dharma nature. He doesn't say the nature of natures, the natures of all things are all the nature of things. So completely the nature. Nature exists, many kinds of nature, Dharma natures, within the table, within the flowers, within the five skandhas, within the six consciousnesses, many kinds of Dharma nature. But those Dharma natures are just one Dharma nature. So, the nature, that's why the natures of all things, excuse me, he doesn't say the natures of all things are all the nature of things. He doesn't say all living beings do not leave living beings, because living beings are all living beings do not leave living beings, exactly, because living beings, all living beings are nothing but Dharma nature, which is called living beings. Because Dharma nature is not something abstract. It is exactly living beings. Dharma nature appears in each creature, each being. So it's living beings, exactly. So, all living beings do not leave living beings. He doesn't say all living beings. Oh, is that right? Goodness. Yeah. He doesn't say all living beings are a little bit of the nature of things. This is not exact. I think a little bit means not little bit. Little bit means the whole. The whole. Okay. Just like 80%, 70%, same meaning. You have to say 80 or 90% and then implies the whole, perfect, 100% perfect. So a little bit, all living beings are a little bit of nature of things. This is all living beings are anyway perfect, the whole of Dharma nature. He doesn't say all living beings are a little bit all living beings. So completely all living beings are all living beings as they really are. There is no gap. So he doesn't, if I say Karagiri is Karagiri, but still that expression has a little crack between Karagiri is Karagiri. But if you say Katagiri is Katagiri, that exact one. So, he doesn't say nature, he doesn't say the nature of things are a little bit of living beings. He doesn't say half a living being is half the nature of things. This is also same meaning, half or a little bit, or same meaning, that the whole. Implication of the whole. But if you want to, why we use this expression? Because if you see yourself from your perception, your six consciousnesses, your life becomes a little bit of the universe. In other words, part of the universe. Sometimes a little bit, sometimes half, sometimes 70%, sometimes 60%, sometimes 20%, sometimes 10%, then sometimes 5, 1, 0, and then despair. You can put despair. So the desperation of your life is also
living beings. So if you see your life, many kinds of beings coming up, little bit, half, and 80%, 20%, etc. But those are not part of whole universe. They are exactly whole universe. Okay? That means the next. He doesn't say half living beings is half the nature of living things. He doesn't say non-existence of living beings is the nature of things. Okay. Well, this is also animate to inanimate beings, or completely, exactly in the nature of things, Dhamma nature. He doesn't say the nature of things is not living beings. Nature of things is not living beings. When you see the total picture, panorama picture of the whole universe working together, interfusing together, I think when you see the Dhamma nature occupies whole world. So, no living being. Because no living beings, living beings are completely come together into the Dhamma nature. If you see the panorama picture of a whole universe interfusing each other, in terms of all living beings, there is no Dhamma nature. Dhamma nature is absorbed into it. So, he doesn't say the nature of things is not living beings. He doesn't say nature of things exudes the nature of things. But even though you don't see the nature of things from, well, we'll just say oneness, and whatever you say from your body and from your pore, but it's coming constantly. He doesn't say living beings shed the living beings. So it's pretty difficult for us to believe you are exactly you. You are exactly the Dhamma nature. Dhamma nature is exactly Dhamma nature. You are exactly you. It's pretty difficult to believe this one. We only hear that the living things do not leave absorption in the nature of things. So all living beings always existent in the realm of continuous activities of pure life, beyond your speculation. So in other words, your life is watched over by Buddha Shakyamuni, Avalokiteshvara, Manjushri, and supported. Wherever you may go. He doesn't say the nature of things cannot leave absorption in living beings. So, nature of things, you can think, you can believe, is also exactly one melted into absorption of the Dhamma nature. It is nothing but continuous dynamic activities of pure life. There is no statement of absorption in the nature of things existing and entering absorption in living beings. Because no statement of absorption in the nature of things is nothing but the continuous dynamic activities of pure life. So it's always coming in and out, if you say. But there is no particular front and back, inside or outside. But anyway, it's moving. That's why It's entering, coming in and out. If you say, if you want to express the total movement activity of pure life. But actually, there is no front, no back, no within, no without. Needless to say, we don't hear of the attainment of Buddhahood of the nature of things. We don't hear of attainment of Buddhahood. This said, Dhamma nature is exactly Buddha nature, Buddhahood. We don't hear living beings realize the nature of things. So living beings realize, Karagi realize, Karagi, that is called Karagi as he really is, even though I don't believe it. Karagi realize, that's why I can live every day. Well, whatever my head think about me, but I totally Karagi realizes Karagi as he really is. But head thinks something else. So head makes me a little bit disappointed, sometimes excited. But real life of Karagi realizes real life of Karagi, so it is great motivation of living constantly day by day. This is a dominant. What make it possible for me to do this? I don't know. But this is temporary core Dhamma nature. We don't hear the nature of things realizes the nature of things. There is no statement of how inanimate beings don't leave the nature of things. Now, one should ask Basel, what do you call living beings? If living beings are nothing but, beings in the Dhamma nature, what do you call living beings? Buddha nature, Dhamma nature? If you call the living being, if you call the Dhamma nature living beings, it is what thing comes thus. Means what is it that thus comes. But if you call your body, your life is called Buddha, how do you call your five skandhas? How do you call your life? If you want to call your life Buddha, what is it? So, Dogen Zenji mentions that is, if you call your life Buddha, what is that thus come? Well, this is coming from stories that the sixth patriarch was asked by his teacher when he visited the teacher's temple. He asked the sixth patriarch, Huineng, and where do you come from? So he mentions, I come from southern part of China. And he asked him, what is that thus come? And he comes here. Huineng visited his teacher's temple. But the teacher says, what is that thus come? So he didn't understand this one, so he practiced. It is said that Huineng, they practiced for 8 years. He worked hard on this questions. What is that thus come? For 8 years. And finally he found answer, that answer is, next, the answer comes in next sentence. Logical, if you speak of it as something, you miss it. Something like that. If I try to explain it in a word, what doesn't hit the mark? Something like that. So, this is his answer. After practicing for 8 years, so he uses, Dogen Zenji uses that term, that statement. If you call the nature of things living beings, it is what things comes thus. Well, I think, and also next sentence, if you call living beings, it is. If you speak of it as something, you miss it. If I call Karagiri, Karagiri, I already missed. I cannot say anything. It doesn't hit the mark. But if I call Karagiri is Buddha, what is a Karagiri? So what is that come? This is a answer, okay? So that mentions here. So I have to say about this one. It's related with the previous paragraph. You know, the according to the quotation of the Shakyamuni Buddha, and the Dogen comment on this. And most people believe Dhamma nature is, Dhamma nature doesn't have flower bloomings and leaves falling. So Dhamma nature is completely pure. No waves, something like that. Very serene, calm, peace. No waves, no noises. But it is wrong. In the nations, but in terms of deep understanding, it is not wrong, it is right. Okay? So it's related, this sentence, last sentence related with this one. Okay, so I have to say about this one a little bit. So let's see human world, how we live in the usual sense. Buddhism mentions the four kinds of views on water. Four different views of water. I think in scripture of mountains and waters, in this book, page 91, he mentioned 93. The last paragraph he mentioned like this: seeing mountains and waters has differences depending on the species. That is to say, there are those who see water as jewel necklaces. Nevertheless, that is not seeing jewel necklaces as water. As what forms what we see that which they take to be water. Their jewel necklaces we see as water. There are those who see water as beautiful flowers, but they don't use flowers as water. Ghosts see water as raging fire, as pus and blood. This ghost means hungry ghost. So hungry ghost see water as raising fire, as pus and blood. Dragons and fish see palaces and pavilions. Some may see water as precious substances and jewels, or as forests and walls, or as the nature state of pure liberation, or as the realm human body, or as the characteristics of the body and nature of the mind. People see it as water. It is interdependency of killing and enlivening. Dogen uses general teaching of Buddhism for four different views on water. So, if a human being sees the water, we call it water. But this is a prejudice, because only human beings understand it. But there are many, many beings exist in this world. Fish, dragons, devils, hungry ghosts, million beings, and also million beings anyway see the water from a completely different angles. So the viewpoint, the human views on water is correct. We should attach to it. It is not right, because it is not the exactly right understanding of water as a whole. Anyway, if you want to live spiritual life, you think you have to see the water as a whole. In other words, not only the one angles, not from the one angle, so-called human beings, but you have to see the water from many, many angles. And then after this, you have to think about, once more again, what water is. Then, there is no answer. Where is the water? Because different beings see the water in a different way. So there is no particular answer on water. But if you see this question, what is the water, left finally, after you make a question, after you see the water from a different myriad angles, and then finally one question left, what is the water? And then in common sense, if you take this one question, you believe that makes us confusion. So that understanding already negative. Okay? But what is question? What is a water? It's not confusions. But in the usual sense, it's confusions. We believe it makes us confusion. That's why confusion implies no answer of water, about water. So pretty negative. So human beings and water. So water doesn't come into the human beings. So very naturally, water doesn't exist in the human beings. So no water. Because no answer about the water. Same applied to the Dharma nature and flower bloomings and itself, flower bloomings and the leaves falling. In common sense, Dharma nature is exactly pure, serene. So no falling flower blooming, no leaves falling. So this is common sense. Common sense. So if you see human world very deeply, you can see the Dharma nature, which is pure. Then immediately, you can see the human beings, human world, and then no answer. No answer means you say it's confusion. But it's not confusion in a deep sense. But in a common sense, it's confusion. So if you say it's confusion, at that time, flower blooming and dominate separate. You and water separate. So water never come into your life. So very naturally, this is a misunderstanding. That is called dualism. We say dualism. Or hierarchy. Well, why don't you say hierarchy? You don't like hierarchy, okay? The teacher and the disciples. You don't like hierarchy in teachers. You don't want to devote yourself to take care of teachers because you don't know how much you should trust, you know? You don't like it. So hierarchy means already dualistic sense. So never, disciple never get into the teacher's life. So in terms of a sense of hierarchy, teacher is teacher. Disciple is disciple. That's it. Boss is boss. Employer is employer. And then, if you say boss, then no disciples, no employers. So because you, no employees never enter into his life or his feelings anyway. So complete separations. So boss is always boss, you know. Employee is always employee. It's misunderstanding. That's why we always fight. And also we feel something cold. Cold wind there. That is really confusion. But if you understand it deeply, it is not confusion, it is not misunderstanding. Because anything exists, anything doesn't exist separately. If you say employee, employee never exists separate from boss, companies, circumstances. The moment when you say employee, there are employees. Immediately, there are boss, there is a boss, there is executives, there is a circumstance, there is an institution, institutional circumstances. Many beings exist. And also, they are interfused in each other's together, into cohesive the whole. This is called company, we say. So completely beyond the human common sense, beyond the sense of hierarchy, reality is something more than the concept of hierarchy, you believe. But we are always attached to a sense of hierarchy, in usual sense. We always believe it, and also we want to take care of human life in terms of this human sense, usual sense. That's what problem is always going on. But it is not wrong. It is right if you understand deeply. So what is the employees? You have to see employees, you have to see the boss, not only that in terms of employees' angles. You have to understand the boss from the companies, from the circumstances, from the employees, many ways. And finally, what's the boss? Human. What is a human? You know, there are many humans, you know. Americans, Japanese, Africans, Germans, many humans there. And even among the human and the a little human, you know, occupies a portion of the universe. Big humans occupies a little bigger portion of the universe, something that many kinds of human beings exist. So finally you say, well, what's the boss? Boss is human. And what is a human? Human is what? Finally, human is a being, creatures. What is a creature? Animate, inanimate beings there. So finally, creature is beings. What's a being? I don't know. Being is just isness. That's it. Before you put the name on it. Being is something, what being is a what is, just the is there. By itself, of itself. This is the ultimate nature of the bath. This is the ultimate nature of water. This is ultimate nature of employees. This is the ultimate nature of a teacher and disciples. So finally, if you see the water from many, many, many angles, then finally, what water is? What is a water? And then in the common sense, it is called negative. We take it as a negative because it makes you confusions. At that time, it is a misunderstanding. But it's not negative, it's not misunderstanding. Because it is, really, the water is what? Water is nothing but being. Before you put the name on it, so called water. So if you go back, if you see through the water as it is, there is no concept, no concept, no ideas. So just what is, just is. That is temporarily called Dharma nature, we say. Dharma nature. And also that what is just is not the stagnant water, because it is always functioning activities, active, it is always active, moving. That's why it is called absorption, samadhi. Dharma nature, samadhi. It is samadhi, because that samadhi is not by itself. Not something that is active by itself, separated from all sentient beings, but closely related with all sentient beings. That is a samadhi. That's why samadhi is continuous activity of pure life, penetrates and accomplishes all living beings. That is a samadhi, absorption, we say. So very naturally, water itself has a great, water itself has a great power to be liberated from concept of the water, we believe. Do you understand? That's why I mentioned yesterday. Hatred, love, you know, pleasant, unpleasant, or all things, many, whatever they are, all exist, but they have great power to be liberated by themselves. Because if you see through them again and again, finally, what water is? That is a unique question left behind. It is not confusion. It is pure life, pure life. Okay. Which is called liberations, liberation. Okay? That's why Dogen Zenji mentions it is not misunderstanding, it is perfect, it is correct. Okay? From deep understanding. And then today he mentions, if you call you as Buddha, what does come? What is that does come? Means if you seek for the Buddhism at the Hokyoji, What is that last come? You come? Yes, you say, I come. What make it possible for you to come? What is the motivation? You explain. You start to explain. But whatever you say, find nothing to say. Well, who make it? Who compels you to come here? We don't know. But you are there. That's why we say, maybe, what? What make it possible for me to be here and practice? That question left. But that question, within that question, there is an answer. If you try to answer to this question, maybe we say Dharma nature. So Dharma nature coming from the past and penetrating into the past, present, future. Anyway, that compares you to practice Buddhism. So to practice motivation to practice Buddhism is not your will. Anyway, it's huge will, universal will, volitions. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions, you listen to Buddha's teaching, life after life. What you have had, what you had, what you will have. You have to listen to Dharma. You have to listen to the Buddha's teaching in life after life. Okay? But that Dharma teaching is not something what you encounter now. No. Dharma nature, Dharma teaching is something what you met in the past. You have met somewhere. And also you will continually seeing and working together in the future. That Dharma you have to listen. Okay? Life after life and ages after ages. Okay? So that's why if you call the nature of things living beings, it is what that's, if you call, we are Buddha, what is that last come? So finally, we cannot say we are Buddha, so it's not necessary to practice, we cannot say so, because what is that come? Can't you say, you are Buddha, what do you mean? Who are you? What is you? What is Buddha? You have to investigate about those questions. And finally, Buddha is, what is a Buddha? And about you, what is you? Who are you? So finally, what is that come? I am here in practice. What practice? What is practicing? What causes me to practice? Who is practicing? That's questions left. It is not confusions. It is. It is a human life seen from many angles, which is completely supported by universe. This is called Dharma nature. So that's why he says. But on the other hand, if you call Karagiri, Karagiri, what is this? No matter how long I try to explain about Karagiri by myself, because I know who I am. So I try to explain who I am. But no matter how long I explain, nothing hit the mark. Because Karagiri is just a being. Because Karagiri himself is liberated being, completely liberated being. So nothing hit the mark in the world. Okay. Because all sentient beings are exactly in the Dharma nature. Okay. not in Dharma nature. All sentient beings are Dharma nature. So this is end. Okay. Do you have a question? Must means anyway. Well, receive it and respect it and digest it. Anyway.
And the Dharma
means
pure life.
Teaching talks about the pure life. This is a teaching. Teaching coming from a pure life. It's called Dharma. And principle of existence, that is called Dharma too. That time, the principle of existence is your pure life. No, so it is not, the pure life is not separate from all sentient beings, so very natural it is. Dharma is phenomena. So very naturally we try to, Dharma is the boundless. So we master. But I don't know the master. Well, the English term is appropriate or not. But anyway, master means, anyway, we should receive it and respect Dharma, teaching Dharma and the pure life and with your whole body, you know, not separate between the head and your body, okay? When you come back and the real source of your questions, who I am, you know, what is it, what the world is, that source of your question really something vast, you know, extending into the past, present, future. There is nothing to put a name on it. This is our life. If so, it is mysterious. No, it's not mysterious. It's alive with us. So that's why through this, present five scandals and present six senses, we can see. But in the common sense, always that pure life and also five scandals are separate. So five scandals never get into, you know, that being pure life. But already, one. So you say, even though you say, I say it's already one, but you don't believe it, you know. But it's you don't believe it is something wrong, okay? But deep sense, it's not something wrong. So still, you can practice.
How?
Receive it, take it, receive it, and respect it, and practice. So from this point in the Dharma Nature, chapter of the Dharma Nature, I mentioned in the beginning, Dogen Zenji tried to correct the misunderstanding we do. Okay. Well, I think the so Dharma Nature, Buddhism, Dharma Nature is not something you can feel or you can experience by, what would you say, actual experience, you know, of touching water or drinking water, you mentioned here. Something more than that. Because feeling and the experience which you have had is already your world. So Dharma Nature is something more than that. So that's why it is one point. The other one is Dharma Nature. Usually we call pure Dharma Nature, truth is complete pure. Which is different from human world. So, that's why we don't want to. This is a misunderstanding. But everyone has to go through this step because we're there. And also we have that common sense. But the common sense is fine, but you should refine. You should refine it. So that common sense is correct, finally. But in the common sense, I think very naturally, pure is truth is very pure, separate from human world. That's why we try to, anyway, keep away, move away, remove samsara, and then after that, we can get into the pure life. This is also misunderstanding. So that's why Dogen Zenji tried to say Dharma Nature and phenomena. All sentient beings exactly one. That's why in the absorption of the Dharma Nature we are there. Our body and mind is nothing but, you know, continuous activity of a Dharma Nature. That's why if you continue to ask yourself who you are, finally question is, who I am. That's it. This is, so who I am means you really participate in the continuous activity of pure life. Then, no concept. If you participate in it, exactly no concept, no ideas. So who I am? But it's not cause of confusion. It is really participation of depth of human life. And then you can see really oneness. That's why Dogen Zenji tried to say about this one. So the word is a truth. Okay, what is a truth? Obviously, Dogen Zenji mentions in this chapter, what is a truth? Truth is not abstract. It is something alive, in living. Okay? Something. It's always vivid. Vivid activities. Which is exactly one with us. That's why Dharma Nature must be something alive, which is called inborn knowledge. That is inborn knowledge, you know. Even though you don't know, it is inborn knowledge. If you have an inborn knowledge, it is called Dhamma nature. Everyone. But it is a something knowledge, it is a something real. You can experience in everyday life. That's constantly Dogen Zenji mentions here.